Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. Howell and Jamie are here, and this week was brought to you by another podcast, Chicken and Beer, because our algorithm department, no, our internet department, Adam, has appeared on another podcast talking football. Chicken and Beer. So you should check that out. Welcome. This week we're going to be talking about Tremé. We're going down to Nola. No, hang on a minute. Down to Nola, which is what the locals called New Orleans.
That just sounds like they've just got so lazy about saying New Orleans that they've just gone, no.
If you had been to New Orleans or to the southern states of America in the middle of summer, you would know why words are abbreviated. He really does. Some people call it Norlands. Norlands. That's kind of how they say it properly, Norlands. And then Nola is something that they... I'm not sure if that is a southern thing. Mel, if she was here, could tell us. But...
damn it!
New Orleans, a very, very hot, very humid place with a great atmosphere. And we're going to be talking about a box set this week that came out of that and see whether or not it's worth watching. Tremé. We will get to it. This week, I've been watching more of my box set of The West Wing, getting back onto that.
Really, Howell?
Really, Jamie?
What series are you on? Series 5, is it?
I've actually started on about Series 7.
You know what, actually, I loved Series 7. A lot of people say it's one of the weakest ones, but I really love
Do you know what? It's
the campaign.
It's the weakest one when you first watch it, because you've left the Bartlett administration. You've left Martin Sheen in the White House, and he still appears. There's still stuff, but you get less of it. And by that point, all you want is for those characters to be there. And it's flawed in that sense. In a way, what the TV series did was move on to this other world, to the future, to the next president. And that, it makes sense if what you're going to do is then do another series and start with the next administration. But they don't, so you have to kind of see this slow death of your characters gradually appear less and less.
You know, nothing made me sadder as well. It destroyed Toby as a character.
Don't give anything away.
I'm not going to say anymore, but Toby as a character got absolutely destroyed.
I'm not sure if I agree with decisions they made around him, but watching it again... both of those things aren't as much of a problem, and I think you're right, the last series is really good. If you've not watched The West Wing, seriously, I'm on about the fifth time round now, and I'm about to start it again. What a TV series.
I'll tell you what I've been watching.
Yeah, what?
The Americans, Howell. Have you heard of this?
No.
I might have mentioned it. I think Ben might have as well. It's about Soviet spies living in America during the sort of the reasonable decline of communism, 1982 onwards.
Right.
And it's brilliant. Like, it's one of those that when you start it, it's not one of those that makes you go, I need to watch the next episode. But I really enjoyed it, and I will watch it again. But I'm not compelled to keep watching in a binge format. But we're up to like season 3 or 4 now, and it's just fantastic, and there's no shebang spy.
Where can I watch this?
You can watch this on Amazon. How it is available on Amazon.
Do you know what I did this week? I bought Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
for 70 quid.
Really? £70?
I thought it was a free trial, and then suddenly I found myself paying 70 quid. And you know what I did today?
What?
Cancelled the membership, got 70 quid back.
Oh, really? You can get it back that quick?
I watched the first episode of Transparent, which we will come to another week, maybe next week.
Definitely should do.
And then I ditched it. I just thought, oh, for God's sake. It's not as fun to use as my Apple TV with Netflix on. If they can put Amazon on Apple TV, and that is the version of Apple TV I've got, then great. The chart this week, compiled by our algorithm department, Ben.
Yes.
This is a chart of the top 10 box sets in the world this week. That counts for illegal and legal charts. So number 10.
I think before we even start, I want to just reiterate, this is the only worldwide TV box set chart in existence. Yeah. This is kind of a big deal. Yeah. And you should take note. Howell, carry on. Number 10.
Number 10, it's Friends. Yeah.
Oh, this chart's a joke. Come on.
Well, number 9 is Grace and Frankie, which is on Netflix, and it's the...
It's your second season's on there now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. At number 8, Fear the Walking Dead. At number 7, Downton. It's dropping.
Thank God.
Still in there, but it's dropping. At number 6 is Castle, and at number 5 is Peter Kay's Car Share. He's jumped back in there. At number
That's probably to do with the BAFTAs.
Ah, yes. And number 4, Shows by Victoria Wood, dominated all download and retail charts in both UK and some in US, apparently.
Wow.
How about that? 3, Peaky Frickin' Blinders. At number 2, The Night Manager. And at number 1, of course, Game of Thrones. And I thought the episode this week was really
stunning.
Good.
Stunning episode, wasn't it? It was just when it's at its best, it's just epic movie TV. And I think that they've really, now that they're not sort of constrained by George Martin's books, they are kind of enjoying that liberation, taking these characters and having a bit more fun with them.
Well, last week we said it was boring as shit, and then this week it's like they did it. They got rid of all the sort of thinking last week, and this week it was like Indiana Jones. It was great.
Can I recommend as well, if you're watching Game of Thrones, I don't know if you've watched it, or you've got to watch the Funny or Die Gay of Thrones recap of each episode. Have you heard of Gay of Thrones, Howell?
No, but we should put it up on the website.
I will pop it up on the website. It's really funny. It's this guy who's a hairdresser, and he's recapping last night's episode with the person who's her. He's cutting.
Great.
And they've done every series, but it gets better and better, and it's really a funny. Brilliant. He's got really funny nicknames for all the characters.
My mum and dad have been catching up on Game of Thrones. They get it from the library, from their local library, and there's a waiting list, so they wait for weeks for the next series of Game of Thrones. But it reminded me of something. I just love that all the pensioners in Chorley are queuing up for the library copy of Game of Thrones. What are they expecting, and what do they get? It reminded me, if you haven't got on the Game of Thrones bandwagon, if you've come late to it like I did, you imagine that because it's been going on so long, it's going to take you forever to catch up. But actually, there's not loads of episodes every series.
No, not at all.
You'll get through it quite quickly and realise that actually it's not that far. It's not that far gone.
I think people assume that a series means like 24 episodes to bang through, but that very rarely is the case, especially with drama.
Yeah.
At most, you're going to get 13 in a series.
Yeah, exactly. Ben also says, Howell, by my count, you've spent hundreds on West Wing and Walking Dead on iTunes and Apple TV. The $5.99 a month subscription to the Now TV app on your Apple TV would have given you all of this, just saying. It's probably true.
But where's the impulsive, spending issues that you love? Yeah.
In fact, let's welcome Ben to the podcast now. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us. I'm just answering your question about the Now TV subscription. Well, the reason I bought The West Wing was because I feel like I have to own it.
But you do own it.
No, they could just get rid of it. In Netflix, they changed the distributors. And
I mean, you own it. You've got it all on DVD on your shelf. And then you could have just streamed it and you'd still own it.
Well,
it's a miracle you've got a mortgage, really, isn't it?
yeah, not for long. Not for long. Let's also welcome tonight, today, Adam, to the podcast, the internet department. We've got the algorithm department and the internet department together. Beautiful. Hi, Adam.
They said it couldn't happen.
And it did.
Now, the dream's a reality.
Mostly they said we were the same person.
Yeah, but they're not. Look at that. We've got the dream team. We've got the most exciting couple of people that we could get tonight on the podcast. We don't need anybody else when we've got these two. That's a fact.
Oh, yeah.
See?
See that?
Jamie, what's happening in the news? Let's rattle through the news and then crack on.
Very quickly, if you go to theboxsetpod.com/news, the latest bit is, of course, The Good Wife finished season 7, as finally the show is totally finished. That was the last ever episode. And Howell?
Not on British TV.
No, in America this is Howell.
Right.
So we're still waiting to see it over here. Yeah. And already they've announced there's going to be a spin-off show from The Good Wife. Now, I want you to guess which character from The Good Wife.
The cheery ensemble we've got tonight.
I mean, is it? The energy we could muster is astounding, isn't it?
They could slow 1,000 horses.
Right, is it a prequel with Eli's backstory when he ran an ice cream parlour?
No, it isn't.
I think it's a spin-off where Diane and the other female lawyers set up together.
Well, it is Diane. You're right about Diane. Okay. That's for sure. They're going to do a Diane Lockhart spin-off show for some reason. I have no idea why.
Because she's the best thing in it.
She's not the best thing in it. How Eli was the best thing in it.
No, he isn't. Eli's just the best thing in it because you know how camp Alan Cummings actually is. And you spend the whole thing going, my God, look at how he's playing this. He's really, really trying not to break into song every 5 minutes.
Watching his face shake as he tries to stay really serious.
Just to contain it.
Is the best thing on that show.
Go on, what else? I'll tell you some news. Have you put this up about the Muppets being cancelled?
I was going to. Very sad. I had heard that it has been cancelled. One season didn't do as well as they'd hoped, and the format wasn't all that successful with some people. But how will take over? How did you feel?
I believe that this was the right decision.
The
Muppets is at its best when it is. The films are great. They've not cancelled the films. They've just cancelled the TV series.
They had a showrunner change halfway through, didn't they? Halfway through the season, they canned the showrunner and replaced him with somebody good.
I couldn't tell you that I've noticed because I've only watched 2 episodes of it. And I think the problem for me was when, which we mentioned, I think, with Andrew James Spooner, but the problem for me was it was written by, I think, by some people who did a bit of Modern Family, and it's very much from that ilk. And that humour's very good, but it's very cynical.
Hang on, Howell. What? You've only watched 2 episodes. You are not entitled to an opinion.
Yeah, this is true. I know. This is a fact. Look, the thing is,
hang on a minute. I know the characters backwards. I feel like on this one exception, the sanctifying thing about the Muppets was always that their comedy was always positive and it was always traditional, and they managed to keep that with the films mostly. Ricky Gervais brought an edge of cynicism which meant that film didn't quite work, I think. And this show, they've done the same humour as is very popular with Modern Family and Big Bang Theory and stuff. It's very much about people being bitchy about each other, the Muppets being bitchy about each other.
Well, with your 2 episode with your 2 episode insight there, that you are right. But it was the guy that he was the writer for The Simpsons and Third Rock from the Sun and all that kind of stuff. Right. He very much brought it back and shaped it.
What a shame. But we'd all left. We'd all jumped ship by that point.
But everybody had... No. And then it was then... you're gonna hate this. Christian Newman... took it over, and you know Christian Newman. Why do you know Christian Newman? Because she was the showrunner for Chuck. Then took it over for the second half of the series.
Right.
But by then, this is the problem with like Netflix and everything else. Is that we need to we need to like judge everything within a first series. We don't allow it a series to breathe. And you don't allow it time to progress because we've got to have it all, binge watch it, and then we decide whether
that.
We want it.
I can understand that argument on something experimental and new, but the Muppets have they've done about 15 series.
They've not been on telly for 30, 40 years.
Yeah, they have. They came back and did the Muppet Show about 15 years ago. They brought it back. They brought back the traditional Muppet Show.
Did they?
Yep.
Was that just did it work? Thing?
Yeah, it was great. It didn't make it to a second series.
was that just a UK thing, though?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think. Yeah, it wasn't like the full.
But they were like showing the clips of Prince on the Muppets and all sorts recently. And the reason that the artists like Prince, who wouldn't go on anything, went on the Muppets was because they recognised, really good. Artistic quality things across the board, and I don't think Prince would have gone on the show in the version that it was on, that it was in now.
They had some pretty high profile guests. They had Dave Grohl and Jack White and people like that who were happy to go on it.
But they've been in all the Muppet films already and stuff. I'm talking about there's this set clan of cheerleaders like me who love the Muppets. But I have to say that I don't think this script stood up. I just think it was too.
But you only saw two episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll watch the rest.
You didn't see it before.
Yeah.
The producer of Chuck took over.
Right. Yeah. Howell.
And can you imagine Howell? Isn't that what you wanted? Oh. Wouldn't you have said
the Muppets met Muppets. Chuck and you didn't even watch a fourth episode?
The Muppets isn't going very well. Yeah, now the guys from Chuck have come in and the lady from Chuck has come in and taken over and. And, we're not going to give
you're
it a chance.
You're absolutely right.
She only got six episodes.
You're absolutely right. And I think that's possibly, you might have unearthed why I've got a thing about Chuck as well, because that humour isn't very cynical either. It's very fun.
And maybe
that
will be probably why they brought her in.
Yeah, Right, I'll go back to it, I promise. Adam, I cut you off like twice in the middle of that. Were you going to say something?
It was, moment of outrage is gone.
Sorry.
It was just the fact that your two favourite things in the world collided and you hated it.
Yeah, I didn't see.
Or rather, you didn't even give it a proper chance the rules of this very podcast.
Yeah, we'll go back.
And now it's dead because you didn't love it.
Any remaining news, Jamie, that we should...
Well, just link to Treme very quickly, and at the algorithm department brought this to our attention, that Wendell Pierce, who is in Treme, who plays Bunk in The Wire... He got arrested recently for having a sort of a tussle with a woman over a political argument about Bernie Sanders. And
he slapped a lady. He slapped a socialist lady.
He was arrested and charged with simple battery, which sounds a little bit like they're playing it down a bit. Yeah, it's just a simple battery. But on Twitter, he's taken to Twitter, Wendell Pierce. And he said that although what has been reported far differs in important respects from what actually occurred, it is true that something escalated after a political discussion, and he's not happy about it either. He regrets what happened. So
Wendell.
Apparently, they tried to go back in the hotel. They tried to go back in their room. These other people, and he stopped them from closing their room door. And ripped it open and then started having more of a tussle with them. And
well, that's not funny.
That's not
right. I'm gonna move on. We've got we've had two emails from Chris Allen. Do you remember Chris Allen, Jamie?
I think I read one of them, and he was the guy who wasn't happy with our shoddy professionalism.
Highly abusive feedback in the past from Chris Allen. Well,
I remember.
He sent some very nice comments, so thank you, Chris. Well, I say he sent some nice comments. He sent some more nasty comments about me and you, Jamie, but he seems to think that now that there's other people on the podcast, he can... get beyond his problems with us. So that's nice. But also, he then emailed again when he listened to last week's podcast, and he has a thanks to Jamie.
What?
I'm so glad you started talking about Man Seeking Woman. I thought I was the only person who'd seen this. And I'm greatly indebted to Jamie for highlighting that there's a second season, which I'm currently eating up. So he's indebted to you. How would you like him to repay you?
I'd like him to cook me a meal.
Wow. You could have asked him to stop calling us... That would have been better. Wow, I'd like.
No, but he was always so angry about me cooking during the pod. So he always cooked me a meal and just posted to me in a jiffy bag.
He also says, "Marsha mentioned another odd comedy, Last Man on Earth." Now we've mentioned this before, haven't we?
Yes, we have. I've watched a lot of that as well.
He enjoyed the really first season of that. Yeah, we're all fans of that. But he found it hard to stick with, and that brings us also.
You know, can I just say, I kind of agree with, you know, it's annoying, like, he has such abusive opinions about us, but I agree with him on so many things. I'm beginning to think he might be right about a lot of his opinions, because, like, Last Man on Earth has gone a little bit, it's tailed off the second series. I do agree with him.
Yeah, I ran out of steam with that myself as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Badlands, he fell into recently. He enjoyed that. Post-apocalyptic steampunk kung fu westerns. If you like those, then you'll love this, he says. And you have Treme coming up, he says. That is what we are about to talk about. He came to it via The Wire. He watched a season and a half. He got fed up. It didn't grip him. He thought it was a bit self-absorbed. Self-absorbed. So I've watched the first episode of Treme. I want to take you back to last two summers ago. I'm in the back of a taxi and I'm being driven from the French Quarter of New Orleans to the bad part of town that you're absolutely not supposed to go to if you're a tourist. And the taxi driver is telling my then fiancé and I about living in New Orleans. And I made a joke about, hey, of course, they blew the levees, didn't they? Conspiracy theories. And he said, it's no conspiracy. They blew the levees. He believed 100% that the American government blew the levees next to the poorer part of town in order to not flood the French Quarter, which is the old and very lucrative tourist destination. And that is kind of the basis for Treme, as I can see it. You've got John Goodman playing a bit of a end of the world type character. Or
because he kind of shoots that theory down, doesn't he, first episode?
He shoots it down.
Yeah, I've only watched the first episode, and he's interviewed by an English reporter, and they talk about the levees being broken.
Yeah,
and bringing up the idea that it was a conspiracy of some kind. He says no, it was just that the levees were poorly made, poorly engineered back in the early 1920s or 30s when they were made, and it was just the engineers who made them.
Ah, okay, I've remembered what he said wrong. Okay, fine, but it's definitely that's.
I sat through an 8-hour documentary by Spike Lee about this.
Wow, and, then that night after we went into this amazing place, it looks like a news agent's, and you walk out the back, and there's actually this whole garden lit up with lights and fairy lights, and you pick a bottle of wine and you pick some cheese out of a fridge, and they serve it to you, and it's phenomenal. And it's a place like that. It's a real, it's a place that's very simple and it's very soulful. And we went back to the hotel, and from my balcony, I could hear "Ma Boo 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 Joo," which is one of the songs in Treme. And I think that I love the first episode of Treme because it really does capture the feeling of being there. That is what it feels like to be in New Orleans, definitely. My question is, am I interested enough in the story to continue it? At the moment, I think I'm going in the direction that Chris Allen mentions of enjoying the music, but it's not enough to sustain it.
Did you listen to last week, the week before, David Simon was... and we should probably explain who makes Treme.
Yeah, the same makers as The Wire, including David Simon.
David Simon, who... And did you hear him? He was on Mark Maron's podcast talking about... Yeah. He was talking about The Wire and talking about Treme and stuff.
Right.
And he was talking about that, about it being experiential, just to experience a city in that way that you're talking about, and that being his aim.
Well, that's what I get from it. That's why I want to carry on watching, really. My brain is telling me that I should be seeking interest in the plot and stuff, but actually I wonder if it's different when you have been there. I have been there, and as a result, I want to go back. I want to live there, and this allows me the chance to do that in a way that Lilyhammer doesn't quite, you know. Lilyhammer kind of does that a bit in the opening credits, but it doesn't really capture the spirit because it's a sort of comedy. But no, I think not many things really do capture the atmosphere of a place, and this kind of does. Adam, you've watched a lot of it, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm through the lot of it now, and I can totally see kind of both sides of it. In that podcast, David Simon said he made a conscious effort for the music to be a character. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, I think that kind of sums that up. You know, it's such a huge part of it. It's the best music show on TV.
You're a music snob as well, aren't you? You're a music snob. So, I wanted to know what you thought about this.
Oh, I love it. Yeah,
the absence of story in place of good music.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is, you know, not to put you off, Al, but, you know, it makes The Wire look pretty narrative-driven. You know, it's pretty rambling. Yeah, there's the plot lines around, like, John Goodman sort of railing against the system and his wife, who's a lawyer, who starts investigating the death of a guy in police custody just during the floods and what happened to him. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it brings in the school systems and it brings in the culture of the musicians who live in the area. And it is a totally redemptive spiritual sort of piece, but it is very slow if you're just looking for plots to keep pushing you forward.
Walking Dead.
Yeah. You'll get a minute of some, like, two characters talking about progressing a plot about a certain investigation and how that's going. Then you'll cut to 4 minutes in a jazz club where maybe one character who you've seen who plays a certain instrument is just gigging.
Yeah.
And then that will snap back to a third different conversation the next day, and then you'll be back in another venue and then on the street for a parade the next day. And it's just the rhythm of it is totally unpredictable. If you want to just, if you were someone like, I was thinking about Marsha the other day when she was saying she wants to pause everything and ask, why has somebody said that? Who's going on with that? Yeah. You would go mental.
She's got plenty of time.
Yeah, you would go absolutely crazy if you need to know why everything's happened.
Okay.
You kind of need to let it wash over you. I get why people, like my wife fell out of love with it after about two seasons. She kind of couldn't do it.
Have you stopped as well?
No, I picked it back up quite recently just to do the last. Again, it's one where it's three seasons, then the last season is only five episodes.
Right.
And because I'm a binger, we were recording it when it was on. We'd missed one episode that didn't record properly, and then that just ruined all that momentum for me. But yeah,
how much have you watched, Jamie?
Yeah, I've watched the first episode, so I watched it last night, so it was the first time I'd seen it as well. And, you know, similar thoughts really, but I just felt that, like, David Simon's work is probably it's the hardest thing to get into, but it's always the most rewarding, or at least it can be one of the most rewarding shows to get into whenever you get into his stuff. That's why, like, watching the first episode, I try not to judge it too much. But from what you're saying, there is very little. Like, the plots I did get are very, very sort of, like, subtle and not particularly dramatic in any way in this stage. And there is the plot about the missing son of one of the residents that the lawyer's trying. And it's a great cast as well.
Mm. Yeah, it's an amazing cast, yeah.
Go on.
I was going to say it's not the plots that will draw you in, but it is the characters.
Okay.
Right.
What was his war one? Generation X, was it?
Generation Kill.
I really enjoyed that, and that was experiential as well, I think.
There was an inevitable drama in the fact that they were in a war as well, wasn't there? I suppose they're in a crisis of a different kind in this. Like, they're trying to rebuild the community.
It's interesting to see something that the whole concept of it is that it's after a crisis.
Yeah.
This is not the draw. This is
I enjoy travelling and I like going to different cities, but I've never been to a city that is so distinctively, so distinctive as New Orleans.
Howell, have you been to New Orleans? Why don't you tell us about that?
We had we bought the soundtrack and we were listening to it. We drove all the way around from Florida and we had the soundtrack while we were listening. And you get there and you get off the motorway and turn the soundtrack off and open the window and the songs are playing outside. And the point is, that's how, it's not like a cliche. They're not performing for the tourists. David Simon has got it. You know, he's really got it. And it's so nice to see that. I think that's quite a brave move and a difficult one. And actually, if you come at it expecting The Wire, then you're gonna go, oh, come on, there's not enough, what's the point? Or the point is the experience then.
Yeah, there's not quite the drama and the conflict that's in there. There's not even that good guys versus bad guys. I mean, similar to The Wire, you know, David Simon has created so much brilliantly complex character-driven drama where good people do bad things and bad people do good things. Yeah. And there are characters who you think, like, you think all the developers moving into New Orleans are going to be evil, but they're not. No. And you think that everybody who's living there is going to be pure and righous, but they're not.
Have you watched much of it, Ben?
I've watched first two seasons, and the only reason why I didn't watch the rest of it, the last few episodes, was because I had kids, and so I couldn't watch anything that didn't keep me constantly awake. And this is jazz box set. This is like this is the great American drama. And that's the thing it's not a Kimmy Schmidt, it's not a box set, it's not a thing that you just whack on and binge and go, oh, House of Cards, or oh, there's a cliffhanger at the end of every episode. This is a thing where, like, it's an experience, and you've got to be maybe of a certain mindset or at a certain point in your life to just sit down and go, I want to experience it. It's like
Mad Men. It's like Mad Men when you
describe but it's,
it like
it's
that.
Even slower. It's got less plot than Mad Men. This is the great American culture. It's a Eugene O'Neill play. It's like Horace and Pete more than it is like Mad Men. It's
Scorsese blues documentaries.
Yeah,
that no one can watch all the way through.
5 hours Scorsese blues documentaries. It's like rich, heavy flavored whiskey. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want it all the time. It's not like something you like go, oh fuck, let's have all of it now. You just go, God, I've got a moment in my life where I want to read this. And it's really rewarding, but it's very like, you've got to want it, you know?
You're going to carry on, Jamie?
No, probably not. I mean,
Ben and Adam have just gone down a sinkhole in front of us of metaphor and description, and I won't bother.
But everything you two have just said has totally put me off getting, because in a lot of ways, like you said, you have to be at a certain point where you kind of, I'm not looking for an experiential, drama.
No, you're not now, Jamie. And that's the thing, because Tremé's not going to age, right? It's not going to age for a long, long time. And so you're going to have kids, and you're not going to want to fucking deal with this for ages. And then at some point in the future, you're going to go, well, you know, they've gone to university. I've got a really big bottle of port there. I never did get to New Orleans. That never happened for me.
I've been to New Orleans.
This feels like a breakdown box set. This feels like one you watch when you've reached the end of your tether with life.
It's just when you've got a moment. It's like when you've got a...
Is that where I am then? Because I really want to watch it.
It'll find you. And I think it's where Howell is. I think it might be where Howell is.
I'm at that point. I'm on the precipice, and I want to go on holiday to New Orleans, and that's why I'm going to put it on. I can't wait.
I think you're going to watch it in a week. You're going to watch the whole thing in a week, and by the end of it, you'll be like drinking rum and smoking weed.
There's a bit right at the end of 30 Rock in like the penultimate episode. I don't know, Ben, if you've saw sort of season 7 of it, where one of the main things in her life is that her DVR is at 98%, and she's just never in the mood to watch Tremé. to get on with her life and become a proper adult is sit down and watch Tremé. And that's what she does with the day of her life. And she comes into the office and says, Tremé gets really good. And
that's brilliant.
I like the fact that we've identified here for our regular listeners. We've identified something that you don't feel the pressure to have to watch. It's on the shelf. It's not going to go. It's not going to grow old. It's on the shelf. I like that. I also think we've got a friend called Roland, who is, big shout out to Roland, who is going into hospital next week, and he's going to be on his arse for a number of weeks afterwards. And he has mentioned that he might have to get himself signed up to something like Netflix.
I can't imagine Roland's not watched Treme.
Well, yeah, Treme isn't on Netflix, but I think that's a good subject. I know that we're all about recommendations, and it's difficult to find a new subject around that, but I think when you are on your arse due to illness or when you're recovering from something, that there is a specific type of box set that you need. Is this one of those? Because it sounds to me like it could be.
I don't think it sounds like it is.
You don't know. You haven't watched it.
I think this is perfect.
There you go. I'm listening to Ben because he's bloody watched it.
Yeah, but when you're on your ass though, and when you just want, you need sort of a vast amount of material to fill your time. You want it to be compelling. You want it to be to drive you forth to keep going. If Treme, I think with Treme, you're going to come out of an episode and you're going to go, right, I need to just digest that and I'll come back to it in an hour or 2 hours. After 2 hours, you go, actually, no, I'll just watch something. And you kind of keep putting it back. Okay. It feels like a show that you keep putting back.
There's two types of post-op. There's bored and there's miserable, right? Not bored and miserable. There's bored and miserable. And then there is like kind of waking up and really really struggling on through. When you're in the struggling on through bit, I think something that is very easy, very light, Chuck, for example, is the perfect choice. But when you're in the bored phase, when you're out of that and you just have to remain on your ass for a while, that's when your brain gets hungry and that's when you need something that's more experiential. That's when you need your Mad Men and your Treme, surely.
Yeah, that's more of a statement, isn't it?
Yeah, it is more of a statement. But there are those two things, aren't there? So in terms of the Chuck end of stuff, I remember when I was going through a very rough part of life, we watched Voyages of Discovery from Paul Rose on BBC4, and it was perfect. It was.
Yeah, I'll tell you perfect. What, I will give you that. There is something in that, because I remember once when I was recovering from the flu and I watched Easy Rider. And that's a film that's all about just immersive. Experiencing, and it did help. It worked for me in that respect. So I can see that point of view, but I think
it's like Treme's like a 29-hour Easy Rider.
Okay, okay, good. Then we should get more recommendations for Roland, and we'll call it Recommends for Roland. Email us studio@theboxsetpod.com. studio@theboxsetpod.com. Okay, good. I think that's it. I mentioned something earlier and said we should do it next week. Transparent. Should we do Transparent next week?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, let's do Transparent. I've not watched it. Okay, we got a week to watch it.
We've got a week to watch it. It's immense.
I've watched episode one. I won't give anything away. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah.
And thank you. What was that?
You're thanking the audience.
So how would you end it? What's your ending?
And we'll call it a day.
For all them rats.